The risen life, that's what we're going to be preaching about for the peeps who want to take notes. And I'm so excited. I was just prepping in the week and just trusting the Lord for words and wisdom and just actually a hunger to see that happening within us, in our hearts, that we'd be people who burn for Jesus and live like Jesus, actually, because ultimately that's the standard. So I'm going to start off with an introduction and maybe just share who I am. I'm not just some random Oki here, well, to some of you I might be, but my name is Nico. I studied here. I've just started working. It's been 3 months now. Working in Cape Town, actually. It's been amazing. I work in investments. And I must say, I think from working or being in an environment where everyone loves Jesus and everyone's super excited about the word and just running for the Lord and being almost in a completely different space, I think it actually tests us. And it refines us in a way that is actually so beautiful. And I think I'm so encouraged by that. And I trust that even through this word, I trust that there'd be some flavor that would come from that, just in some of the things that I've seen and experienced and some of the things that I felt the Lord download in my heart over the last bit. So actually read earlier this week just about the pulpit. So the pulpits were actually put in the church for two reasons. The first one was that, for the short guys like me, you'd be able to see me, and I'd be able to see you. Okay, someone's nodding like you're not really that short. Thanks, bro. I appreciate that. But the second reason would be that the word would be elevated above all of us, our opinions, our thoughts, the doctrines that we may have held, and actually look at Scripture and ask, how does this apply to us? Is this the truth? And actually, if it is, that we'd actually submit our lives to that. So we're going to be speaking about the risen life of Jesus and how, in many ways, that changes us, that changes our hearts. If we aren't being changed by the life of Jesus, then I think maybe a question would be, do we know Jesus? I heard an analogy a couple of years ago, actually, and maybe I won't quote the dude. Like, some of his stuff is really good, but some of it, I don't know. But he spoke about how someone was supposed to come preach at a conference. And he got up and he said, sorry, guys, I'm late. I'm 2-3 hours late. And they asked him, why are you late? And he said, I got hit by a truck and I'm here now. And the deduction from that was either this guy was lying or he was delusional. Because if you get hit by a truck, there's 100% of a chance that you will not look the same and you would not be there. And I think in the same way, if our lives reflect Jesus, if we've seen Jesus, if we've come to know Jesus, then there should be something that is different, that's not the same as the world, that doesn't speak the way the world speaks, it doesn't do things that the world does, but actually is transformed. But this transformation starts somewhere. So I wrote here, the centrality of our salvation is symbolized by the cross. You can go almost everywhere in the world and it can be instantly recognized. But even as Christians, do we understand, do we truly understand what the cross is and what God has done for us? Jesus dying on the cross is much more than a perfect man who lived a perfect life. He wasn't some docile humanitarian who said, listen, guys, I'm going to do lack of things on earth and then I'm going to die and people are going to write about me. He was God. So if we understand that he was God, and then the second part, that we are not, actually, we're not God. We are children in desperate need for a Savior. And I think if we actually understand that fully, then we're able to actually see who he is and we're able to live out of that place. I saw Clint and his baby a bit earlier. Where are they? There we go. Are they gone? Okay. Outside. Cool. Perfect example. That baby that they have is completely dependent on their parents. Completely. And they are so, the baby is so comfortable in that. So secure in that. So dependent in that. Doesn't struggle with that thought because of their security. And I think in the same way, if we know how much of a desperate need that we have to have a Savior, then we will be able to build this relationship and actually understand what he has set out for us. So I'm going to run through 4 points. Number one, acknowledging Jesus. That's going to be the first point. The second one is going to be the finished work of the cross. The third one's going to be being changed by the cross. And the last one is the joy of our salvation. So we can never understand the wonder of the cross if we are blinded by our need for it. And again, just going back to that thing, if I don't know that I'm lost, I'm not going to look for direction. So understanding who we are through Jesus, through the lens that he has for us, this broken and depraved world actually that we live in. I'm going to read Romans 3, verse 23 and 24. I used to love this scripture in high school, but I don't think I understood it. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And the redemption, he's restoring the blueprint. He's fixing the plan that he had through the world in redeeming us and bringing us into who he is. And in verse 26, it says later, he is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. If we have faith in Jesus, he justifies us. There's scripture that actually says that he advocates on our behalf. It's like he stands and he mediates and he says, "God, Henny, I love, I see, I know, I'm backing this boyki before God." And even beyond that, yeah, just even looking at what that means in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11, I'm going to read this again. "Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." And I think I'd encourage you guys, maybe check out what crucifixion was, just for context. Verse 9, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God through the Father." And I love just the word there, emptied. I played a bit of rugby, and I remember some of our coaches saying, "Boys, you must on this field, you're going to finish yourselves, you're going to break yourselves, like you must not leave with anything left in you." I don't think we ever got to that point, if I'm being completely honest. I've got my limbs, I've got my ears intact. I can't say the same about my prop friends, but the reality is that there is nothing left. Like, we need to realize there's nothing left. And even beyond that, he was God. So it wasn't some random dude who just wanted to do random deeds to look better, but he was God who humbled himself. And I think that's something we can learn as well in so many ways, that in our high horses, even in having experienced the Lord, even walked with the Lord in discipling, I'm a comm leader, I'm a deacon, I'm an elder, I'm an apostle, whatever it is, it has to submit to who God is ultimately. And the perfect example is God humbling himself to the point of death, even death on the cross, for people who would never, potentially, never turn to him. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. I've just been hit by, firstly, the simplicity of the gospel. And I think about just what that means for me and how that's changed me and how that's molded me. I was thinking earlier today, I was like, actually, we spoke about my sister a while back, but where we'd be if it wasn't for Jesus. Like, we know our defaults. I think someone actually talks about, I think Andrew might talk about our default settings, but actually what that looks like. And I was just thinking, yes, I'd probably be overseas somewhere, chasing money, chasing success, not sleeping, working incredibly hard, all because there's some brokenness. And I think all of us want to have some sort of fulfillment in the world, or actually in ourselves, but realizing that that can only come from Jesus. So actually boasting and being able to, Clint is back, exciting. You got to mention Clint. Solid. And then I think we can ask why. Why would he do this? He wants relationship. He wants intimacy. Even though he's God, he chooses to want us to partner with him and to know him and to love him. And It's such a profound thing because you think about the Trinity and you're like, they were fully dependent on each other and fully comfortable with each other. But there was a song that they reference about making the circle bigger. And I remember we used to lead a community a while back and just how it'd gotten bigger. And there were some people who obviously would have wanted it to be a bit smaller because there's relationship and it's fun and it's nice. But actually that the Lord always wants to make the circle bigger. And bring us into family and show us actually what his design is for this. Number two, the finished work of the cross, being sons and daughters, and actually understanding that. I think that's probably our most difficult thing. I think we can understand how to be slaves. It's easier to understand how to be a slave because in the world, it's input, output. You bring something, you get something out. But the currency of the kingdom is completely different to that. And I think it's so difficult to understand that. I was thinking earlier just about an orphan coming into a family, and as they're collecting their meals, the children who've been there, it's so easy for them to dish up, sit, put the music on, put, I don't know, a pillow under their chair, and they're comfortable, they love it, it's lacquer. The orphan will come, take their meal, take a small portion, sit in the corner somewhere. And in some ways, that might just be seen as humility or not drawing attention to yourself, which is okay. But I think ultimately what God wants us to do is to be able to feast at the table, feast in him, know him, love him, be able to, yeah, just be surrounded by his people. And I think if that's one of us, I think I've struggled with that. We're feeling like, yes, I have to be an orphan, I have to be in the corner, where actually the Lord is drawing you closer. Jesus sees you. He wants you to be part of his family. And I think sometimes even our families or our parents have a lens on that. My sister and I kind of grew up in a very performative mindset. She's the issue. She did so, so well at everything that she did. So I had a bit of an inferiority complex, and at some point I had to work super, super hard to feel loved and seen by my parents. It's been, I think the Lord's done a lot of work in that area. But the reality is that, sorry, I'm not putting you on the spot there, but the reality is that even that lens can have, yeah, can have a distortion. So we need to come back and ask God, what's your design? What's your design for this thing? How have you built it? What do you actually require of me to live a life that serves you? And then I'm going to read Romans 8, verse 32 to 38. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, in the South African version, be load shedding and crime? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And this is the word. I think sometimes we read some of these things, I'm like, I've never seen this before. But actually allowing ourselves to be covered by him. And He's got an open arm. He's got open arms, and he wants us to commune with him and be sons and living this life, this resurrected life, because that's what he's done for us. That's what he's called us to. And then number three, being changed by the cross. So I went to school in PE. I was in the boarding house, and last year sometime I visited just to see some of the boikies. And I was part of a church called Oxygen Life there. And as I was worshiping, I went there on Sunday, and as I was worshiping, in the corner of my eye, I see this guy I went to school with, Ethan Costa. He doesn't mind me mentioning this, but I saw this oak, and then I was like, noit, that's not him. That's not him. Like, yes, that is not him. I love the Lord. I ran for the Lord in high school, and he didn't. He was scary. He was a rough guy. Like, I think I feared him. Maybe I had like 3 conversations with the guy, but he was hard, man. He was serious. He was, he looked like 4 years older than everyone else. It was just like kind of guy you don't mess with. So as I was doing this, I went up to him afterwards and I greeted him. There was something of his entire demeanor that changed. And I was like, who is this person? Who is this person? I can think of so many examples. Actually, this past Saturday, some of the guys were meeting, and there was one boyki who had an incredible, incredible story of just how Jesus has met him, and the history that he had. And I think Mac was saying, like, you would never have thought that is the guy's history. And in the same way with Ethan, I was like, what's happening here? And I think it just reminded me of what Jesus does and how Jesus fixes us. Because, yes, guys, I have faith, but thinking or even evangelizing to that oak back then would have been scary. It would have felt like there's no point. And I think to a large extent that was the point, that it wasn't anything I could do. Yes, I can be faithful to those entrusted to me, but ultimately he does the work. He finishes it. He starts it and he finishes it. And I think for us, I think we can actually rest in that and say, God, I can be faithful with the people around me, but ultimately you do the work. And I think that's just the beauty in our salvation, which we can rejoice over, in saying this guy was dead, but he's alive. And his life really stands as a testimony for who God is. People look at him and really say, listen, like, there has to be a God, because this is not the same man. And I think we look at that example and like, yo, that's crazy. But some of us who haven't been saved from crazy backgrounds like that, actually there's a testimony in that. I think to some extent, I think something that I've experienced is I was sheltered and covered by guys who love the Lord who were older than me. So I never fell into some of the things that other guys were doing around me because the Lord protected me from those things. And I'm so grateful for that. So even just, really being encouraged by what the Lord has done and that all of us actually have a story to tell, I think it's a beautiful thing. And then Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 6. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, and which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places. And I've been challenged at work over the last couple of days. It's almost like these little victories, because I think in some spaces you can kind of go and you can chat to someone about God and it's amazing. But I think in my environment, it feels a bit difficult sometimes. I've got this boss and he's a serious manner, no one challenges anything they say, and it's kind of, but actually in the small things, like the victories of someone opening up to you, it was going to be recorded, it's fine. You opened up about his divorce, but like it's like a crazy, crazy, scary thing. And even just seeing like how the Lord is softening his heart, just like in small conversations. And I think it really just, I think a question that I have even for myself and for you guys is your life telling of who Jesus is in your daily life? It doesn't have to be super radical all the time, but in the small things, is there something about Cara's life that says she loves Jesus, she's set apart? Hey? And I think, let's not be discouraged by that, but actually rejoice in that we can be a light to people around us. And again, this is the work that the Lord has done. There was another example of a guy, CJ, I went to school with. And I remember he visited a charismatic church for 5 years, guys. I played guitar. It was terrible. Like, I've heard some of the videos. It was terrible. We shared a dorm for 5 years. But I remember him saying to me in first year, Boyki, I went to church and I actually could sing some of the songs because of your terrible singing and the music you were playing. And came from a very different background. Wasn't really into I think churches, we see it. But I think even in that small plant, in that small seed, which I didn't recognize, I mean, I was just singing to the Lord and it sounded horrible. But there's something that he used in that, you know? Number four, the joy of our salvation and contending for the salvation of others. Yeah, I think we run, as I've mentioned, we run for Jesus and we become used to it and we serve, and it's almost like, because we're flawed and our perception of the kingdom has been perverted by the world, and we see hierarchies and we see cliques and all these random other things, that we forget actually the joy and the wonder of our salvation. Moras actually preached on this about probably 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. You talk about Table Mountain and never losing the wonder of Table Mountain. And I actually see Table Mountain a lot of the time. I'm like, yo, it's pretty. But over the last month or so, I've realized that's an average thing. Like, I can see it outside of my window, but I've lost the wonder of that. And I think the Lord continuously just wants to refresh that in our hearts and saying, yes, it's actually such a joy. It's so lekker to run and to love Jesus and to do it with all of you guys. Like, how incredible is that? And out of that place, we overflow. Out of that place, we can actually be a light. Out of that place, we can grow. But if we've lost that, if we've lost the joy of our salvation, it just feels like we're running and we're doing sound and we're doing AV and we're going to lock up afterwards and we're missing something. But actually going back to the Lord and asking him, like, you see, God, we need you. Like, there's a desperation of saying, we need God in our lives. Like, we're hungry. We're hungry, like, really. I feel weird now because I'm being loud. But, like, we're actually hungry for the Lord. And if we're missing that thing, just asking the Lord, there's a scripture that talks about, Lord, I don't believe, but help my unbelief. And many times I think we can pray that we don't have faith, we don't have that hunger, we don't have that zeal. We can ask him. We can ask him for those things. And again, I think just to balance it, I think we're in a congregation where there's a lot of zeal, there's a lot of fire. But I think maybe another way to test it is, if you weren't in this environment, would you be running as hard as you are somewhere else? In a different congregation where the average age is 70, or for the older people amongst you in a congregation where the average age is 15 or 20, I think we can look at those areas and say, actually, like, our hearts should be at such a place where we'll run and be sent wherever God has called us to. Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthen the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. In the last scripture I had, Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I'm actually just asking the Lord that, yes, this is a long race, man. I think some of us sprint and get tired, but actually asking the Lord to be the one who sustains us, who fills us on a daily basis, who gives us just that time to spend time with him, to give us the words to speak with these people, to love people, to serve. But ultimately that has to come out of a place of overflow and knowing him, and knowing where to find it, that he's the one actually who sustains us. It's crazy that everything in the kingdom, whether it's our salvation, whether it's us running for him, whether it's him fixing our problems or loving us or just comforting us, it's all from him and through him. And we can run to him in that, not being slaves, but being actually, yeah, being sons and living as children of God. I'm going to pray for us. Yeah, Jesus, we just want to thank you, God. We want to thank you that we can be sons and daughters. We want to thank you that, Lord, we can live a life like you did, Father, that you give us the grace to do that, Jesus, that you empower us and that you encourage us. Though we fall short of your glory, Father, daily, Father, there's redemption, and you restore us and you cover over us, God. So, Lord, we ask that you'd come and just fill us anew, Jesus, just with a hunger and excitement to know you, God. Just to see you, Father, in your beauty, Lord. Here we go. Yeah, and to continue, Father, to run the race that you've called us to, Lord. And we trust that it would be a joy. We trust that it would be a joy, God. Mm-hmm.